Today on Real Radio.
I'm going to just ask you this question. How many of us have been Christians, say, for the last 10 years? Raise your hand. Have you seen friends, family, people that you know, professing believers, depart from the faith in those 10 years? I've been a Christian 30 years. It seems like the last 5 years have become the most dangerous years. People are getting involved in the silliest doctrines. People are departing from the Bible and going after what some crazy system is saying or doing. Why?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. One of the essentials of our faith, and one of our great hopes as true believers in Jesus, is the promise of the Messiah's return. It's such a wonderful promise that our teacher delivers a series of presentations taken from Luke chapter 12 called When Jesus Christ Comes Again. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Are you ready to meet the Lord today? And if you are, it takes great faith to be thinking like that. It takes great faith to live like that, to live each and every day with the expectancy that today could be the day. Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, could come at any moment. So how are we to live? Number one, if our faith is going to be foundational, and it will be, it's going to be because your faith works. Church, will you write that down? Your faith and my faith has got to be a working faith. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, do you speak this parable to us only or to all people? It's certainly to all people. The Lord answers with a question. Who then is that faithful and wise servant, Jesus asked, whom his master will make him ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Jesus is calling Peter and all disciples to this consideration of faithfulness, because your faith and mine must be an active working faith. And our faithfulness, church, is based upon the fact that the master of all has put several things that he loves dearly under our trust. And I don't know if I like that. That makes me nervous. Have you ever handed your kid the car keys for the first time? That's kind of terrifying, you know, but time comes to do that. Jesus Christ handed us, as it were, the keys to the church. I would have given it to angels or something else, but he gave it to us. There are responsibilities that Christ expects for us to maintain and to be faithful at until he comes back. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 12, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Your faith and my faith, church, listen, as time progresses, if Jesus does not come back today, then our faith is going to be more and more foundational with each and every day that we wait for him. Do you understand that? It is vital. Everywhere that you and I go, there are people giving up on their faith. People are quitting. People are departing from their commitment to Christ. Why? Their faith has lost its grip in Christ. Your faith and my faith is foundational. Number one, because stewards are granted authority. Jesus Christ says, I'm leaving and I give you these things, church. And number one, you have authority. The Bible is our authority. And when we walk in the Bible, live by the Bible, we'll have authority in our lives. God's word will begin to come out of us based upon biblical authority. The steward is also to be faithful in this fact, that they are to be responsible. The Christian is to be responsible about what God has given us to do. Every generation, by the grace of God, the torch continues on regarding the things of the church and the things of God's holy and awesome word. And then also under this, that his stewards are to be active. Faith is active. And our faith foundationally in our lives is to be a very active faith. Why? Because faith works. And a working faith defines the life that you and I live. I'll say that again. Our faith, an act of faith, defines the very life, defines the very truth of what you and I live for and what we say. Do we really have faith in God? It's very critical. James chapter 2, verse 20 says that faith without works is dead. James is the man who would say today, Christian, don't even talk to me about your Christianity. I want you to show me. James was a tough guy, but we need James today. James would say, I don't want to hear it. I want to see it. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Hebrews 5:14 says, solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That is faith in action. Man, I got to tell you, a Christian who's walking in faith with the Word of God open, you can't pull any wool over that Christian's eyes. They're discerning by what they hear, by what they're doing, by what they're seeing. They're discerning. And we need to be like that like never before. And Jesus said in Matthew 5, 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Wow. That's an act of faith. You'll find out that one of the greatest things that Jesus said, in fact, he said, greater works will you do because I go to the Father. What could that be? It's sharing the gospel with someone who may come to faith in Christ Jesus. Every one of us as Christians, if our faith is real, if our faith is true, then we will share our faith with other people. You say, Jack, I'm not very good at that. It doesn't matter how good you are at that. By the way, the call ministry will make you very good at it. It's very tried and true. It's a proven thing. You say, Jack, I don't know if it's for me. Sign up and show up and watch what happens. To share your faith. So powerful. Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, let us consider or provoke one another in order to stir up love and good works. I love that verse. You know what we're supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be walking around the house of God, the Christian church, and we are to be looking at one another, getting to know one another, and we ought to be able to say to one another, are you going to sign up for the call ministry on Tuesday? Are you going to be a greeter? Are you going to go to the missions trip to Africa? Are you going to go with the team to Germany? Are you going to go to Mexico? That's what we should be doing. We need to be doing that. Did you meet someone today? Or do you keep meeting the same people? Husband and wife, turn and greet one another. They go like this. Church, you got to get out and meet new people around here. And as you do that, I want you to provoke them. That doesn't mean, you know, anything in the negative. It's everything in the positive. Hi, nice to meet you. My name's Jack. What's your name? Oh, Mike. Super. Great. Hey, did you hear that announcement about the call? I'm terrified. Let's go check it out. You want to go check it out together? You guys, this is how life begins to happen. And now, because somebody invited you, now you don't want to look like a chicken. So you'll say, well, okay, I'll be there. I'll show up. Hey, you know what? Provoking them, getting them together. It's a great thing. When Jesus Christ comes again, your faith will become foundational regarding endurance because your faith endures. If you are a true Christian this morning, your faith will endure. Yes, we have highs and lows. Yes, we have trying times. And we all struggle with doubt in certain areas from time to time. Will God do this in my life? Or is that going to happen? I understand that. But your faith will endure if you're a believer this morning. The Bible says, blessed here, verse 43, is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. The word blessed here means well off or happy. You want happiness? Come on, let's be honest. We all want happiness, but how do you get happiness? The world says this is what you do to get happy. It's not the answer. God knows what it takes for you and I to be happy. You want happiness? Jesus says, this is what happiness is. You do what your master, your God, has told you to do, and you'll be happy. God will touch your heart and your life. The Bible is a supernatural book, and even more than that, the Word of God is the Word of the Almighty God. His Word is all-powerful. And the Christian is to be someone who's immersed in the Bible and eating the Word of God for his soul and praying the Bible. And if we do those things, and if we do those things together, you watch, you and I will endure unto the end. The Bible says in Romans 10, 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Right now, literally a supernatural event is taking place right here, right now. And that is with every verse I quote, and with every bit of wording that is from the Holy Spirit coming out of my mouth, your faith is increasing. When you pick up your Bible, you know how we push, I don't mean push, but we encourage you, we provoke you to read your Bible every day through the one-year Bible? Your faith will grow doing that. Oh, Pastor, my faith's so little. Well, then stop whining about it. Open up your Bible and read it and watch what happens. Your faith will grow. How do you know? God said it would. The more Bible you take in, the more that comes out. By God's grace, your faith will endure. The Bible says in Jude 24, now to him, that is the Lord, who is able to keep you from stumbling. The greatness of our God. Instruction and training and warnings is what the Bible gives us concerning all these things of these last days in which you and I live to equip us for the reality of this life. The Bible instructs us and trains us and warns us. I will never forget. Talk about instruction and training and warning. What came to my mind when I was putting this together was the fact that Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, but he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. God's Holy Spirit will equip you and anoint you to endure unto the end. You will be saved. That is, you will finish the course. But I'll never forget Saturday, August 13th, 1983. Some of you maybe weren't even alive by then, but or at that time. But August 13th is a Saturday morning. First of all, it was my daughter's birthday. It was a Saturday morning, and early in the morning, I had a cross-country flight to take for my pilot's license. I had not yet got my pilot's license. I was to fly to Palm Springs, and then to have someone sign my logbook and to fly back to John Wayne Airport in Orange County. And all get home early enough because it's my daughter's birthday, Rebecca's birthday. And so I did that, and it was a dual flight, which means my instructor's with you. He doesn't say anything. He just flies with you, make sure you don't kill yourself. And so coming out of Palm Springs, there were some clouds forming through the Banning Pass. And I'll never forget this. He's a very calm man. He's a very elderly man, U.S. naval pilot. And he just said, see those clouds right there? And I said, yes. And he said, it's going to get very rough. Well, we're in a little airplane. And it was very smooth at the moment. Why should I care? It's very smooth. What could be the problem? And Palm Springs to here is not that far. What could be wrong? But he was reading the sky. Are you with me? He's reading the sky. And he says, you see those clouds forming like that? Those lenticular clouds? It's going to get very rough here pretty soon. Better hang on. He starts securing stuff in the cockpit of the plane. He starts putting his cup away in his bag. He starts, and I'm thinking, it's crystal clear out here. A little cloud, what's the big deal? Let me tell you something. We got hit by this turbulence, and when the plane shifted to the right, I took the yoke to the left, and it didn't do a thing. We were everywhere, upside down, stuff flying around the plane. If I wouldn't have been so busy working to keep that plane in the air, I would have been sicker than a dog or crying like a little baby. It was terrifying. But you know what he had said? Because he didn't say anything to me. He just, it's going to get rough. He didn't say anything. I'm sweating. I wanted to cry. And all this stuff's going on. The plane is creaking and shaking. It was horrible. And it's written in my logbook today about that day. And when we came through, it got as smooth as glass again. All along the time that it was so very rough, do you know what I kept calling to mind? His words just before it hit. It's gonna get rough. It'll get smooth on the other side of this. I kept my hope on the fact that this too shall pass. It's going to be rough. He warned me. It's going to be rough. I didn't believe him. After that, I believed him. Every word he said. Why? He warned me when there was no sign of it, at least to my eyes. The hope got me through. And on the other side of the disaster, I realized, you know what? God's word, because I was a believer at the time, God's word says that we're going to get through these things. Just like today, my instructor got me through these things. Jesus Christ is our instructor. And are you ready to meet Christ? If Jesus came today, are you ready? You and I will have no excuse as to why we're not ready. when we have such a great instructor, a great flight instructor as Jesus, because he's preparing us for a great, great thing. And then also this, your faith and mine will be foundational because your faith produces. Real true faith produces. Verse 44, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has." Faith, true faith, will be productive. John 15 says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, and every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, but every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit." He goes on in verse 5 to say, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Verse 16 of John chapter 15. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain." True faith in the Lord God, foundational faith, will be productive. Point number two this morning, it is this. Your faith and my faith will become tested. You and I are living in a time of testing. This is a strong time of testing. How is that? Because real faith will be tested by time. I'm going to just ask you this question. How many of us have been Christians, say, for the last 10 years? Raise your hand. Have you seen friends, family, people that you know, professing believers, depart from the faith in those 10 years? I've been a Christian 30 years. It seems like the last 5 years have become the most dangerous years. People are getting involved in the silliest doctrines. People are departing from the Bible and going after what some crazy system is saying or doing. Why? Didn't the Bible say, didn't our instructor tell us that would happen? Didn't he warn us? He certainly did. Dangerous times. Why? Our faith is being tested by time. Will you mark that down? Real faith is being tested by time. But if that servant says in his heart, "My master is delaying his coming," oh, this is dangerous, mark it well, and he begins to beat the male and female servants to eat and drink and to get drunk, stop right there. This man didn't wake up one day, according to Jesus' parable. He didn't wake up one day and say, "That's it, I'm going to go do all these things." He didn't start out like that. He wasn't always a violent man, a gluttonous man, a drunk. It says that he began to do those things. What did he once believe? That Jesus could come back or the master could come back at any time. But he said, if that servant, he's speaking now in a parabolic sense. Jesus in the story is like the master. The master's like Jesus. The master says, "I'm going to come back. You wait and you be busy." And the servant says, listen, the servant says in his mind, "I don't think he's coming back soon." Do you realize how critical this is? Do you believe that Satan could come into your life and begin to tempt you by thinking, "Jesus isn't going to come back for a while"? I'm telling you, that's true. Didn't we read it in our Bible reading this brand new year when Satan came to Eve? What did he say? He said, "Has God really said?" Question the word of God. That's Satan's ploy. The Bible warns us that in the last days there will be those saying, "Where is the promise of his coming?" The word means he promised to come. He didn't come. I don't think he's coming. Any person who professes to be a Christian and does not understand this or embrace the pure red letter Bible that you're reading here, the words of Jesus, is dangerous when they say, "I don't think he's coming back." Look, I believe he could come back today, but that's why I'm preparing for next year. I believe he could come back tomorrow, but that's why I'm preparing for the next 10 years. If I really believe he's coming back, I'm going to be very, very prepared and busy about our Father's business. That's how we need to be as a church. And so he got his eyes off of Christ. A very sad and very tragic thing. You say, "Well, Jack, wait a minute. Is the guy a believer or not a believer?" That's a great question. Will you mark this down? Can someone who says they're a believer wind up giving up on hope and the Word of God and quit walking with Christ and still be a believer? Let me answer that. In fact, let me have the Bible answer that. Jesus, in Luke chapter 8, verse 13, you know this parable. It's the parable of the sower and the seed. He goes out to throw seed, and he speaks about four different hearts that receive the word. Listen to what he said. Luke 8:13, Jesus said, "These are they who, when they hear the word of God, receive the word with joy, and these have no root in themselves, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away." That chapter of Luke 8 and Matthew 13 teaches clearly that there are those who hear the word of God, some reject it immediately, some over time reject it. There's only one person in that group that is one that's saved, and it's the person that bears fruit. You can read Matthew 13 later. This is very critical. You say, "Jack, are you saying that you can lose your salvation because of that verse?" No, I'm not saying that. But listen very carefully. Jesus said, "These are they who believe for a while." He didn't say, "These are they who have faith for a while." He didn't say, "These are they who were saved for a while," did he? He said, "These are they who believe for a while." Church, no one gets to heaven strictly on believing. Your belief must take you to faith in Jesus Christ. You must have faith in him. You can say today, "Well, I believe in God," and you can still miss heaven. You say, "Well, wait a minute, aren't you saying that then I'm losing my salvation?" No, there are people who believe in God, believe in Jesus, believe in the Bible, believe in America, and they'll never make it to heaven because they've never put their faith in Christ. This is very, very important. See, you and I, because we are sloppy Bible readers, think that people can lose their salvation. That's not true. The truth is they never had salvation. They just walked around and said they were believers. "Oh, but Jack, they went forward at a crusade. I saw them go down on the baseball field." So what? Did they continue? And did they put their faith in Christ? This is critical. There's a lot of people walking around today, and frankly, some people are very, very hurt and afflicted and insecure because they don't understand this. And then there are people who are just so self-righteous about it, and they may be the ones missing heaven altogether. Do you have faith in what Jesus Christ did for you and I on the cross? Is that your entrance into heaven? If your answer to that is, "Yes, I have faith in Jesus Christ," then praise the Lord. Are you born again? "Yes, I'm born again. I had a change in my life." Then if that happened, my friend, you are going to make it. God will see to it. But if you say one thing on Sunday about believing, and the rest of the week your life is no different than unbelievers, and God has a very, very small presence or footprint in your life, that's a dangerous place to live. Jesus said, warning, as a good instructor, there'll be those that believe for a while, but when temptation comes, they fall away.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called When Jesus Christ Comes Again. It's actually a two-part study taken from Luke chapter 12 and verses 35 through 40, part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, because the fall semester is upon us, and we recently presented Pastor Jack's Being a Christian While on Campus, we've decided to go ahead and continue offering that on DVD. And in fact, we've gotten quite the response, so we're extending the offer. For your tax-deductible contribution to the outreach of Real Radio, of any amount, we'll send you the double DVD series, Being a Christian While on Campus. More than one way to get in touch, beginning with our website, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to do things the traditional way, here's our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-09. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.